Hey, thanks for joining us. It is another cold day and cold night in Minnesota, but you warm us up by being with us on the way with Ridgeway, and I so appreciate you being with us. And, you know, we all think about death, and some of us wonder, what's after death? We know what the Bible teaches, but a lot of you aren't sure, and some of you aren't believers. And also, you hear a lot of things about out-of-body experiences. And I've got a brilliant man with me, Dr. Gary Habermas, who is a distinguished professor and chair of the Department of Philosophy and Theology at Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia. And we're going to talk about near-death experiences, out-of-body experiences. Is there life after death? And so, Dr. Habermas, thank you for being with us.
Glad to do it, fellas. This is a good topic.
Well, it's a great topic because we're all going to spend eternity somewhere in a long, long time, either in heaven, hell, or some people believe in the nothingness, but we know that's not true. So let's talk about, first of all, Doctor, just biblically, what happens at death to people?
Well, biblically, I think the Bible teaches very clearly, and there's a little bit, this is kind of a big topic too, but some people believe that at death there's a state of unconsciousness until the person is raised from the dead later. And I think it's very, very clear that the New Testament teaching is that at death, Christians remain alive and they are, they have their, I don't want to say joined by, as if it's a zombie or something, but they receive their resurrection body later. That's the classical view. And that so-called in-between view, called the intermediate state, classically it is bodiless. It's believed to be bodiless in the presence of Christ, although some people believe they're sort of an intermediate body. So it's you might say, embodied right now, disembodied but fully alive and conscious during the intermediate state, followed by the resurrection of the body for eternity. I think that's the position, the majority position on what the New Testament teaches.
Okay, so if you're saved, you're in spirit in heaven to be absent in the bodies, to be present in the Lord. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. But the Bible says then, Doctor, but the non-believer then comes judgment. So what happens to them?
Well, according to the New Testament, of course, the main characteristic of hell is separation from God. So the main characteristic of heaven is fellowship with, I often define heaven as fellowship with the God of the universe and with our Christian friends and loved ones forever. So I think fellowship is the key idea in heaven, and lack of fellowship with each other and with God is the key characteristic of hell.
And torment in hell, correct?
Well, it's definitely suffering, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's horrible. We don't want to go there, and we don't need to without, but we will without
the main
Jesus.
Message of the, I think that's the main message of the New Testament. The New Testament, basically, there's pictures, word pictures they give of hell, but I think the point is not to say, let me paint your picture. I think the point is to say it's nasty and you don't want to go there. And after all, who wants to be separated from meaningful fellowship, either with each other or with the God of the universe?
And the God of the universe doesn't want you to perish. That's even better. So
that's good news, too. Sure.
Amen. Well, I'm talking to Dr. Gary Habermas, who's distinguished professor and chair of the Department of Philosophy and Theology at Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia. We're talking about out-of-body experiences, life after death, what happens. And, Doctor, a lot of people, you know, they kind of scoff at hell and universalism. Everyone's going to get to heaven. But, you know, we are hearing a lot more about out-of-body experiences and Dr. Maurice Rawlings and the Kubler-Ross studies and everything. Do you believe there are people that actually have legitimate out-of-body experiences where they, in fact, might go to heaven or they might have even gone to hell?
All right, let me begin with a distinction. I do think there are very legitimate, in the sense of being real, near-death experiences. I think some near-death experiences are misremembered experiences, whatever those are. In other words, some of them are subjective and aren't really occurring. I think a number of them are objective, a goodly number are objective. And what you're referring to out-of-body experiences, I assume you mean the type of near-death experience where the person is not just like up above their body in the operating room, but separated and kind of experiencing themselves away a little distance. Maybe you're calling that out-of-body experiences, because in the literature, out-of-body experiences often refer to things that are induced in laboratories or that people say they experience during life, and they have nothing to do with dying. And I think that's a lot more troublesome area. I'll divorce that from this discussion. But if you mean, let's talk about two kinds of near-death experiences. Again, the kind where you're up above the table and you're saying, man, I mean, I knew I was having surgery, but, I mean, first of all, who's that down there in the table? They don't even recognize, maybe they can't see their face. There's people all over. Besides, we always identify ourselves with our point of consciousness, and they think of themselves as being a little bit up in the air, as if they were standing on a ladder. I mean, they're not, but they're 5 feet above the table. As opposed to, oftentimes, the deeper the experience, the person describes kind of drifting away. And that's where the tunnel comes in. And some say they see a tunnel. Some say they see a light. It's far from, like, unanimous that that's what they say. But that's what makes the... That's what they see, rather. But that's what makes the press.
Doctor, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that God then allows... I mean, certainly Satan's a deceiver, so he can also deceive experiences for people, too. I've heard some absolutely clear non-believers say that they saw this being of light, and they were happy and warm, and the being of light said, you're not coming now, you'll come later. And this one person specifically was an atheist. I'm thinking, wait a minute, that being of light was not God, that was Satan himself. But Satan is a deceiver. Does he use these experiences to mislead? And does God, do you believe God uses these experiences really to tell people and give them hope or warning?
Wow, you're asking really good questions with a lot of parts to them. And let me take
it's too cold here. We got to have parts today.
You have to have something to do when you're staying indoors, right?
That's right. No way. You know.
I think there's a lot of parts to this, so let me take a few stabs at them. Some of it, I think, now let's talk about just the real near-death experiences, not the ones that are fragments of a dream or something from medicine you've been given or something like that. But the real near-death experiences, there are heavenly ones reported and hellish ones reported, and I think God allows them in this sense. I think they're supernatural because they're an experience of another world or another dimension or another reality, however you want to say it. And I think God allows them, but in the sense, not that they're miraculous. I don't they're supernatural, but I'm going to distinguish between a supernatural and a miracle, because it's a supernatural realm, but it's a normal thing that happens to somebody who is separated from their body by death. So it's kind of a normal process that God works into it's part of living. Dying is part of living, but it is supernatural in the sense of going to another realm. Now, there is all kinds of conflicting testimony from people who have a near-death experience. Therefore, I like to talk about just the evidential cases, because I can't vouch for some of the other ones. Let me talk about the non-evidential ones for a minute.
Okay,
a lot of
1 minute before break, and then we're going to come back and do this more. But
okay, that's fine. In a minute, I think that a lot of the folks who give perceptions, I saw this, I saw that, boy, I felt great, I wasn't unsure, I didn't know what was going on, those kind of things. Sometimes people who say they're not Christians report good experiences. Sometimes they report bad experiences. I think that if there's no evidence for what they're describing, if they can't say, I'm here because, and some of them are evidential, but if they're just reporting, I can't really put anything on that, because anybody can report anything. I can feel good in bad circumstances and vice versa.
Okay, let's come back to that, because we're going to take a break. We're talking to Dr. Gary Habermas, who is the a really brilliant, distinguished professor and chair of the Department of Philosophy and Theology at Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia, talking about life after death, out-of-body experiences. Are they real? Are they true? And how do they relate to the Bible? And we'll be right back with him on the way with Ridgeway. Hey, thanks for joining us on this cold night, and be safe as you're driving home. In this last segment of the show, I'm finishing my interview with the famous Dr. Gary Habermas, who's distinguished professor and chair of the Department of Philosophy and Theology at Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia. We're talking about a most fascinating subject. We all think about death. Is there life after death? How about those out-of-body experiences we hear about? And Dr. Hedmerman, you were talking about experiential versus non-experiential, about people who have had out-of-body. Tell us about that.
Well, I was making a distinction between experiences that have the earmarks of being real, but some of them come with evidence and some don't. And we were talking about the ones without evidence. Now, an evidential one, somebody might say, well, in the world's an evidential near-death experience to another realm. But oftentimes, the person who says, I'm up above my body, and I'm seeing what you guys are doing, but I have this incredible sense that I'm not, no matter what's going on down there, I'm not dead, and I'm alive. And I saw what these guys were doing, and man, I saw this one guy do something really funny during the operation. He did this, or he did that, or they report things. Or I started drifting away, and I went through the wall, and I saw my family down the hallway in a waiting room, and Bob was saying this, and Sarah said that. And this sort of stuff's confirmed. There's a lot of those, dozens of evidenced ones, and that argues for some reality minimum to the NDE. But I was talking about non-evidential ones, and some of them will just say, well, wow, I had this experience, it was incredible. Listen, I don't care whether you believe me or not, but I'm as sure as I had this experience as I am as I was in the supermarket last night. I mean, I'm that sure. In fact, I'm more sure. This is the most real thing that ever happened to me. And then they go on and they say, hey, I'm an unbeliever, but I had this really good sense that we were all going to the same happy place. And they report things that are unbiblical. Now, sometimes Christians report things that could be biblical, but they also don't have evidence. They'd say, well, I trusted Christ as my Savior and so on. And man, I saw where I was going ahead of time. I didn't quite get there. I was told it was time for me to go back, but it was a wonderful place. Okay. My rule is, if you have an evidential NDE, and you report what a doctor
says. An NDE is near-death experience, of course.
I'm sorry, near-death experience, yes. And, or you report what a doctor tells your family down the hallway in the waiting room. That's evidential. But in non-evidential cases, which most of them are, I can listen to your story and I could say, wow, yeah, interesting. And I really am interested because it seems like something is going on. But here's the problem with the non-evidential ones. There's a difference between somebody's experience and somebody's interpretation of their experience. Just ask somebody to describe a car accident they were in. Somebody in the same car might say, it wasn't all that bad. It was pretty bad, but I got straightened out of my mind pretty quickly. And someone else are traumatized for 2 or 3 days, maybe longer. So even when a person says, I'm a Christian and I saw a good place, how do you know they were going? I mean, how do you know that the non-Christian was going to the good place? How does the Christian know what's after this point? Everybody would like to think they're going to a good place. Maybe it's the fact that you're not in a cancer-racked body anymore. Maybe it's that you're not in that vehicle down there all scrunched up and not taken out of the car yet. You're up above it. There's all kinds of reasons why non-Christians can feel good and Christians can feel bad. I mean, that just happens. So I only emphasize the evidential reports, and I'm way, way more skeptical of the interpretations and spins, let's call it, that people put on the experiences.
Gotcha. So now Satan will use these experiences, or even people that claim in detail about their, you know, death, and they either went to heaven but they weren't saved, or they went into hell. I've got to believe the ones that go into hell. I don't know why Satan would allow somebody to go to hell to come back and warn everybody. Those, I think, would be more legitimate, wouldn't they?
You think they'd be more what?
Legitimate, if one had a hell experience, because Satan wouldn't want people to go there and tell others and warn them. Would that make sense?
You can argue that. Look, you know what? I know of a, as far as everybody knows, a Christian, a legitimate Christian in a legitimate Bible-believing church down south, who had a near-death experience and said he went to hell.
Wow.
Now,
was he saved?
well, he was like a deacon or something like that, and everybody thought he was, and he thought he was, and he was acting like that. You don't know a person's heart, but I can think of reasons why a person could think they're going to hell, and not. I mean, for example, we all have bad dreams. I had a dream last night that a family friend had died. And interestingly enough, I woke up this morning and my wife sent me an email from the person. Now the person's not doing well right now, but she sent me an email and the person's doing real well right now. So the dream wasn't true. So sometimes we have scary dreams. Sometimes we have dreams where, you know, maybe a pastor is shouting at you and you learn from your youth that if you do this and that, don't smoke because you're going to hell. And who knows? I mean, if a near-death experience is a memory or a dream in some cases, not evidential cases, maybe the Christian is experiencing hell. Maybe the unbeliever is experiencing heaven. That what I'm saying is that's their spin. That's maybe even a dream. They don't know. They're not. It's hard to judge exactly what they're seeing. That's why I don't buy interpretations.
Okay, but let's go back because I want to make sure our listeners know that. So the foundation, the plumb line, and I'm talking to Dr. Gary Habermas, who is the Dr. Habermas is the distinguished professor and chair of the Department of Philosophy and Theology at Liberty University. But Dr. Habermas, the key issue is Scripture. Is it not always going back to Scripture?
Yes, and I teach apologetics, so I teach evidences. How do we know Christianity is true? And so I will always try to bring things I don't know. I think this is wise to bring things we don't know are true, people's spins, people's experiences, into line with what we do know is true. And since I've done the only thing I've studied more than near-death experience is the resurrection of Jesus, and I've done almost 20 books on the resurrection. To me, the resurrected Jesus is our number one best guide for what the afterlife is about and why the Christian version, i.e. Jesus' teachings, why it's true. They're true because Jesus has been raised from the dead, and it's an incredibly well-evidenced event. So sometimes I'll use near-death experiences if I go to a state university and speak. I'll use them as sort of a kind of a wake-up call, kind of a, as an opener, kind of as a primer to say, hey, you know, according to surveys, most of you believe there's an afterlife out there, and some of these NDEs are real well-evidenced, so something's going on. Now, let's talk about the resurrection. I'll give you a specific detailed case of something that's much more advanced than a near-death experience. And I'll lead it right into the resurrection. With their knowledge, it's not a bait and switch because they know I'm speaking on the resurrection that night, for example. So sometimes NDEs are near-death experiences are an attention getter. They just argue that there is an afterlife. Most people are there. And then I try to introduce Christianity.
Doctor, we got to get you back on again. I'd like to get you back on and to talk just specifically again about the evidence for resurrection, because as the Apostle Paul said, without that, we're lost anyway. So,
absolutely. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Dr. Gary Habermas, who is a distinguished professor and chair in the Department of Philosophy and Theology at Liberty University and in Lynchburg, Virginia. And we've been talking about out-of-body experience, life after death. We know as Christians, and there's life for non-believers after death. Unfortunately for them, it's hell. For we in Christ, it's heaven. And honestly, God wants none to perish, but you will without Jesus. But if you have him, you're assured of eternal life. And that's the purpose of our program, On the Way, the Ridgeway, is to direct people to the cross, to direct people to the Savior, who is the only way to salvation. So, hey, Doctor, thank you very much.
I enjoyed it. Yeah, great questions.
Hey, God bless. We're going to have you on again. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Paul.